All right, so we've been discussing the 10th principle. We've been discussing the general idea of God's knowledge, what it means that God knows, and the consequences and implications of God's knowledge. And really we're focusing on how the idea of the 10th principle is really the way in which God acts with the world based on, or not really based on, his knowledge, that God's knowledge is all-encompassing, and even, as we saw, God's knowledge is causative, and yet God still takes interest in what's going on in the world. He knows the actions of man, and still, lo his nicham, still doesn't abandon them. He's interested in what goes on in the world. And that was the main idea we've been discussing last week. We discussed the Rambam's response to, we pointed out the Rambam here identifies a philosophy with which he is specifically disagreeing. He says, "Lo kedas ha'omer," not like those who say. So last week we went through who those who say are, and a little bit of the Rambam's response to them. So this week we're going to discuss the Rambam's own approach to Hashgacha, to God's providence, to where God is involved in the world. So, the first page was just, again, the 10th principle, HaYisod HaAsiri, Shehu Yisal Yodea Ma'aseh B'nei Adam, that God knows the actions of man. So we're going to try and there'll be two parts of focusing on that, but today, next week we'll do the other half, but today we're going to talk about what it means. God knows, the Rambam focuses on the actions of man, is that which God knows. We're going to try and understand what the focus on man's actions are, and why that is the focus of the principle of God's knowledge, focuses on basically the realm of what man is doing in the world, what the actions of man are. So, just to kind of form the link between this discussion of God's knowledge and God's hashgacha, God's providence. So, we've somewhat already explained why the two are very interlinked, but just the Rambam himself, before he gets into the discussion of hashgacha, very explicitly says it at the very end of chapter 16, before he gets into chapter 17, where he starts to describe all the different philosophical approaches to hashgacha. His last paragraph in chapter 16 is Va'achar shebe'arti ki ha'devarim b'yediyah b'hashgacha k'shurim zebezeh. Now that we have explained how the matters of yediyah, of God's knowledge, u'b'hashgacha, and God's providence, God's involvement, his oversight of the world, are k'shurim zebezeh, are intertwined. So now we can start to discuss the different perspectives on hashgacha. So that we have the background of yediyah, and that leads into a discussion of hashgacha. So the Rambam first lays out four other approaches to hashgacha before he gets to his own. I decided, mostly for the sake of time, not to go through them, but just for the sake of the contrast to the Rambam, we'll just discuss. I'll just very, very briefly summarize a few of them. The first one, which he, you know, somewhat completely rejects and says he brings Aristotle, who agreed that it's complete nonsense, is that there's no hashgacha on anything, anywhere, anytime, ever, which basically means that God has no idea what's going on in the world at all. He doesn't pay any attention to anything, and the world is completely, you know, just floating. So that, he said, that he just kind of says, he's leaving that aside. That's being left by the wayside. So the next three philosophies, so to speak, are all somewhat in gradations of how much involvement God has. But there's one that God knows about the This is, we actually saw this last week, that the describes as the Ashkafa of Aristotle, that God, his knowledge is, God is unchanging, and therefore his knowledge of the world, or his involvement in the world, is only in those things which are unchanging, and therefore he's involved in, you know, the cosmos and things like that, but, you know, the individual things, all the details that are always changing and constantly varying in the world. So that's, you know, that this position held, God isn't involved in those things, because involvement in them, they held, would imply God changing, because he's either, you know, dealing with things on a case by case basis as they happen, would imply in their mind a change in God. That was that school of thought. It happens to be, just as an aside, that modern astronomy, or modern cosmology, I guess, disproves that philosophy, because today we know that even the cosmos are not constant. We know that the moon is not eternal. We know that the sun is not eternal. We know that the universe is aside, forgetting anything about Big Bang and things like that, but we know that stars are born and stars die, and planets are born and planets die. So the whole idea that you know, God has his realm of involvement in the world is in those things which are permanent. We kind of have gotten to the point where science knows that there really isn't anything that's permanent. But okay, that's an aside. Then the Rambam has another perspective, which says that there is hashgacha on absolutely everything. There is every single iota of everything that happens. If a leaf falls in the forest and it crushes a bug, that was because it was a gzera. It was decided that leaf needed to fall and that bug needed to be crushed, because that leaf deserved to fall and that bug deserved to be crushed. And the Rambam we'll see exactly. He says it's, you know, basically just like what caused this leaf to be deserving, what caused this bug to be undeserving, you know, where's the he said it leads to, you know, some logical implausibilities. But okay, so we're going to jump to now the Rambam himself. The main thing I want to contrast, is that last point that we said, that idea that Hashgacha is on absolutely everything. This is very important to understand. We're going to see, and this is the main point I want to develop today, is what the idea of Hashgacha is. Because we have two things. We have what we say God knows, and that, we said, is very intimately connected to what God is in control of and responsible for. We're going to have a separate discussion of Hashgacha, which means what is God interacting with the world? What is God dealing with? When he deals with the world, what is he dealing with? And so we'll see what the Rambam says, and I just want to keep those two points in mind, and we'll try expound, round out that point. So the Rambam, we're now on the third page of the source sheet, says, Aval daiti ani b'yisod hazeh, kolom hashgacha, my own opinion in hashgacha, lokis, in God's providence, kumasha avarocha, is what I'm going to explain to you. And now, in the little section that I didn't underline, basically says, I'm not basing this on my own logic, this is what's clear from the Psukim in the Torah, and it happens to be that it resolves all of these philosophical problems that he raises with all the other approaches. He says, "Vehu ani b'deya ki ha'hashgacha lokis ena ba'olam hazeh ha'shapal kolomer mitachas galgal ha'yareach," that God's hashgacha is not in the world under the shamayim, under the cosmos, ela v'ishe min ha'adam bilvan, except on man alone. Man is the only being, the only existence that has hashgacha on it. Now, next week we're going to discuss that point more, focused about how the Rambam basically is very explicit that there is not hashgacha on animals and other things like that, and we'll get back to that next week and see the significance of that, but that's for a different discussion. But that he says that it's man is the one who has hashgacha. V'hamin hazeh levado hu asher kol matzave ishav u'masha magiyim min atov ha'arahu kefi ha'ra'ilo. It is this species, this min, that mankind is the only one that the situations that he finds himself in, that which happens to him, the good and the bad, are according to what is fitting for him, what he deserves. Kemosha Amar ki kol drop of mishpat. Like the Torah says, kol drop of mishpat, everything that Hashem does is mishpat, everything that Hashem does is with a measured justice. That is reserved for mankind. Skipping a few pages, the Rambam further in chapter 17 of Maran Ruchim Chelik Gimel here says, Ela hahashgacha elokis ledati kefi shenira li nispachas leshefa eloki v'hamin asher nitzman bo oso hashefa asichli ad shenasa ba'al seichel hu asher nislava ila hashgacha elokis. So the Rambam says that the idea of hashgacha, that in my mind, in my opinion, the idea of hashgacha comes from basically a connection to the divine, that creation which has the ability to, has a seichel, has an intellect, and therefore has the ability to connect to what the Rambam calls, we'll just use his terms, the divine intellect, to connect to God in a sichli, in a seicheldik kind of way. That is the place where hashgacha has room to exist. All of his actions are ongoing on a basis of schar and onesh, of reward and punishment. Ki tviyas asfina b'chol mi sheba kvi shenizkar ukriyas atikra al mi shehaya rabayis. He's contrasting this to examples that he brought within the other philosophies, but that the boat sinking with everyone on it, and the roof collapsing and crushing everyone in a house. Even if you would go so far as to say that that's, you know, absolutely left up to what we'll call coincidence, meaning that there's not a decision that roof needed to fall. But the fact that those people were in the house or those people were on the boat, that's the hashgacha, which means, before we get to we'll see one more thing. But everything is run, that's all happening according to the Hashem's desire, according to what is fit for them, b'mishpat, what's fit for them in a strict measure of what they deserve, what's supposed to happen to them, which is run according to a system of judgment that our minds cannot possibly hope to not necessarily can't hope to grasp, but can't hope to appreciate, because this is something we discussed last week, that the system of how God has decided who is Roy and who is not Roy, who's deserving, who's undeserving, is so complex that, you know, for us to look at someone and say, well, he looks pretty firm, so he must be good, or he looks pretty, you know, whatever, that the system, how God judges, is God has, he knows what the judgment is, and there's so much complication to it of what makes a mitzvah a bigger mitzvah and a smaller mitzvah, what's a challenge for this person, what's not a challenge for this person. Somebody who looks like they're doing well, maybe that they're expected to be doing much better where they are, and all kinds of things that can make it very complicated for us to look at it and see how everything that's happening is fair, but that the that God is, that everything that's happening is according to a system of mishpat, and everything that's happening to people is happening according to a system of mishpat.
Yeah. Yeah. So the question is, if you have a case where the roof falls on people and 50 people are killed by a roof falling, is this what this means, is that every one of those people deserve to get injured or killed by the roof falling?
That's what Rambam is saying. Right? That,
Well, what about the person who was responsible for maintaining the roof? And he was negligent, say, in maintaining the roof. And people have been complaining about the roof for the last 6 months. Somebody didn't do their job. And as a result of one person not doing their job, and a secondary effect, all the people are injured or died.
So the Rambam would tell you that God is in charge of everything, and God can make the roof not fall despite the negligence of the person in charge of maintaining the roof. If those people didn't deserve to die, God, the Rambam says that everything that happens is going to be according to the din, of what that person deserves. And if someone is in a place where something happens to them, so basically that's not by accident, that's not a coincidence. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu has everything that happens is according to a mishpat of what's supposed to happen to that person. So, of course, it's true that people can be negligent, but why does someone else's negligence affect me? If God is ultimately in control, the fact that, you know, at the end of the day, you know, sometimes when you shoot a gun, misfires, or what's the word, where it, you know, you pull the trigger and the gun just doesn't work. So just because, you know, a person decides to kill someone else doesn't mean they're going to be able to kill someone else. And that, the truth...
Can you make the distinction of saying that God wants everything that happens because God wants it to happen? But that doesn't necessarily mean that it's all about punishment or reward. So let's say there can be bad things that are happening to people, but not maybe because that's so that they deserve it, but maybe God just wants to teach people a lesson. And you see, when it sounds like Rambam saying that everything that happens to every one of us is because we deserve to be rewarded or punished.
That's pretty strict.
I don't know why you have to go to that extent.
No, you're 100% correct, and there are others. Let's just throw in one simple example. There are major schools of thought in Judaism. Today we would probably call them the accepted school of thought, who believes in something called a Gilgal, a reincarnation, right? So, now, as it happens to be that the Rambam did not believe in such a thing. Rambam, yes. But that's a different discussion. But you know, one simple explanation for, you know, why something happens to someone is maybe because we believe that their neshama, their soul, is a soul that has certain things that need to happen to it based on what happened to it in a previous run. And therefore, you know, a child is suffering not because of anything about the child, but because of there's some residual whatever it is that had to happen. The Rambam very clearly dismisses anything other than God's judgment as why things happen to people. And there are certainly other options. The Rambam in this whole area of Moreh Nevuchim that we didn't go into that point so much, but the Rambam very clearly doesn't like the idea that he brings up a couple of other options. The Rambam does not like the idea that there are things beyond the person's control that could impact what happens to him. For various reasons, not all of me, there are certainly very accepted schools of Jewish thought that say that do take an approach that there's something else going on, that there are, you know, sometimes, but I'll give you a very simple example. The Rambam himself brings this up and says, this is something that Chazal themselves say, and the Rambam, I don't want to get into this, this is a broader discussion of the Rambam's view of how to understand the Gadita and things like that. But the Rambam says this is one opinion in Chazal, and he understands to be a dispute within the within Chazal about whether or not it's true. But the Rambam discusses something which the Gemara calls Yisurim Shel Ahava, which basically is the idea that God could give someone suffering in this world in order to increase their reward in the next world. And the Rambam brings that up as a approach of Chazal. He says it's one opinion in Chazal, and he says it's not the accepted opinion in Chazal, and we don't believe in such a thing. There's no such thing as anything that happens to man that isn't according to what he deserves. And the reason, now to get back to answering your question, the reason is because, and we'll see this in a moment, the way that the Rambam understands what Hashgacha is basically a response relationship between man's actions and God. The idea of what Hashgacha is that God watches man's actions, that God responds. Individual person, right? That we'll see in a moment that the Rambam is very explicit about the individual basis that Hashgacha goes on. Really, we mentioned that I think a little bit last week, or whenever the last time we learned was, but that the whole idea of Hashgacha is the Baal Seichel, the person, the degree to which his intellect is connected to God, is the degree to which his intellect is then, or his actions are then taken into and responded to, and therefore it's, according to the Rambam, because of his philosophical approach of what Hashgacha is and how Hashgacha works, it basically is limited to and only to a response to man's actions. That's what Hashgacha is, according to the Rambam.
There are definitely even within modern
discussions about the different approaches of how we you know, I'd say I think probably the most normal response is that, you know, just like what the Rambam says about anything that happens to anyone, he says we don't have a way to understand why we have a general idea of why things happen to people. We have no idea why any specific thing happens to any specific person. Says it's something that we don't know how to calculate God's judgment in these things, but there is a judgment. And the Rambam would say, just about like Churban Bayis Sheni, where there was plenty of death and violence that happened to Churban Bayis Sheni, he was in Arabic countries, but he was alive during the First Crusade, so the Rambam probably knew about the violence of the Crusades, all of the innocent people who were, so the Rambam would tell you that he's aware of that, and that it's something we can't understand how the calculation is made, but the Rambam would tell us that there was a calculation.
When the Rambam was living, they had the Arabs invaded Spain, and they put a kibosh on Judy, and that's the reason he had to leave Spain. He had to travel, I think, first to Morocco, then to Egypt, and then Israel for a short period.
Right.
So he was aware of that bad things were happening to the Jewish.
Right.
He lived it.
Right. So the Rambam is basically the way he understands what Hashgacha is Hashgacha is the entirety of what Hashgacha is what the Rambam says in the first line of the 13th principle, that God knows the actions of man, which is that God takes into account in his dealing with man exactly what their actions were, what they have done. So just one last thing before we just try and sum up everything thus far, and then we'll go one step further. V'havein hashgafasi ad sofa. To understand, I want to make sure you understand the entirety of what I'm saying. Ki eini sover shehu yis'ala nel al mimenu davar. I'm not saying that there's anything which is hidden from God. I'm not saying there's anything that God doesn't know of or is unaware of. Or that I am connecting to Hashem a lack of ability. I'm not saying that God lacks any potency, any ability to be in control of things. I'm not saying that God is either unaware or unable to accomplish any of this. God knows everything. God is absolutely and intimately aware of everything. And God could control every last detail of everything. And really, in a certain sense, as we explained a couple of weeks ago, God does control, in a certain sense, God is ultimately responsible and in control of everything that happens. Ela ani b'deya, ki ha-hashgacha nispachas l'seichel v'chiyuvis lo, kevan sha-hashgacha einu ela mimaskil. Since hashgacha comes from, this term we're trying to use, but from the divine intellect, it is hashgacha, the idea of God's involvement is only connected to the seichel, those actions which are done through seichel, those actions which are done through intellect, or to put it in terms we would use, those actions which are done through bechira, which are done through free will. So one last line, just put it: the Hare Kol Misha Nitzman Bo Mashu Me'osu Hashefa Kifi Erech Mashu Yagiyalo Min HaSeichel Yagiyalo Min HaShgacha. Anyone who has connected themselves to that Seichel, to that who has received that divine influence to the degree that they have connected themselves, to plug themselves into that, to that extent, they will be involved in HaShgacha. And that line we're going to see more on in the next point, but just to sum up here for one moment. The Rambam, what he means to say is, when a leaf falls off of a tree and falls onto a bug and crushes the bug, or maybe or provides the bug with some shade, or whatever happens, one school of thought says that had nothing to do with God. God, didn't decide that should happen. God didn't decree that should happen. God didn't cause that to happen. Right? That's who cares about that? The other one school of thought says that God decided that leaf deserved to fall and that bug deserved to have shade on it. The Rambam is saying that no, that there's two things here which are separate. God caused that leaf to fall. And God caused that bug to whatever happened when the leaf fell on the bug. Because God is ultimately lonis alami menu davar. God knows everything, and as we saw, the Rambam understands that God's knowledge implies God's control. God's foreknowledge is causative. So God is ultimately responsible for the fact that happened. But not because God made a din, the cheshbon, and made a gzera and said this leaf deserves to fall. And in the measurement of what should happen to this leaf, I'm making a din, I'm making a judgment on this leaf, should it fall or should it not fall? And does this bug, does it deserve shade or does it not deserve shade? There's no such thing as a bug deserving or not deserving. So why does it happen? Because there's a bigger picture of the world, and there's man, and things are supposed to happen to man. And what happens to man is what everything is going to fit in. Let's make a crazy story, but you know what? That bug died because that bug needed to be the soil to decay, so that 10 years from now it could be part of the soil that the tzaddik needs to plant his tomato patch in. However it's going to work out, this might be a silly, trivial example, but everything is going to... That leaf did not fall because of anything about whether or not that leaf deserved to fall. The gzeira on that leaf is not because God decided that leaf needs to fall. God makes that everything that happens is part of a bigger picture, and everything is under God's control. Everything is under God's idea. Everything God is aware of and knows about, and therefore is involved with in the fact that it happened. But that has nothing to do with God's hashgacha. God's hashgacha means, why did God decide that should happen? Did God make an active decision that needed to happen to that leaf as a din on that leaf? Absolutely not. And did that dog need to die because this dog had more had less merits than that dog? No such thing. Everything that happens, the only cheshbon that God makes, the only place where hashgacha applies, where there is a response between what's happening in the world and God's conducting of the world, is within the realm of the actions of man. What man does, that's where hashgacha is, that's where it is the basis of Skar V'Onesh, of Mishpat, is the fact that God is looking at the actions of man and is responding to them.
Can you say Hashem created science? He created scientific principles and it created the leaf, waiting to blow the leaf down. But Hashem is in actual, I don't know if I'm arguing with this or not. Hashem is in, he created wind, and but he necessarily, a leaf falling on the bud might not have any effect on man. And Hashem is not making the leaf fall on the bud. It's just that Hashem created the wind. And this happens to be that bug was blowing at the same time that the leaf was going down.
So this is gets back involved with something that we discussed in the first principle, which is that we could say it in different ways, but the basics is that the Rambam understands, and this is not just the Rambam, this is a very basic tenet of Jewish thought, that God's existence is what the Rambam refers as the only Metzias Mukhrach, the only his existence, or the way he says it in the Yad, that the Rambam, the Hashem's existence is the only existence which is Amiti, which is true, real existence. And everything else that exists is, so to speak, a dependent existence, but it's an existence which is only because God wills it to exist. There's no reason it has to exist. And the Rambam says that's not just true about the creation of the world, but that's true, the Rambam says in the first principle, that God is mekayim in the world at every moment. At every moment the world continues to exist only because God wants it to continue to exist. So now this is where, so it certainly could be possible that God at the beginning of creation, and I think the Rambam does ascribe to this to a certain extent, that at the beginning of creation, God created nature. And there are certain rules of physics and chemistry and whatever else there is that God put into place. But if I would ask you why those rules of physics continue to function today the way that they function, the answer is because God continues to make them work the way they work. As opposed to Azav Hashemes Aretz, I don't remember who it was at one point in the history of Greek or Roman philosophy, they had the opinion of Deus, which was basically the clockmaker, that God, there was a supreme being who created the world, and then he found better things to do. He set everything in place, it's just running on its own, and God left. There's no such thing as God leaving. God can't leave. God is the predicate for existence. Existence doesn't happen without God. God is the prerequisite for existence to be. There's no such thing as existence without God. And therefore, if existence continues to be, it's only because God continues to be involved. Now, God's continued involvement may be along the lines of a system that he set up, and he's maintaining and continuing to apply that system, and that will be what we call nature. And we'll see in a moment how that is really involved. But at the end of the day, everything that happens is going to be because God, whether it be that God is applying the rules of nature, or God is choosing to manipulate the rules of nature, or to go around the rules of nature. Whatever it's going to be, but it's always going to be because God was the one who was ultimately behind it. Which is what I meant when I say that God made that leaf fall, is because God created the world, and God continues to run the world, whether God continues to run the world with a case-by-case judgment on each event that happens, or that God is running the world in a more general, that he's running the same rules that he set up. But the point that I wanted to get is that...
Well, you're saying that there's two schools of thought where God is intimately involved in every single detail, ad infinitum, and there's one that he is keeping things in motion and locked up, and he's not controlling every single little thing.
Well, no, that
general thing.
He is controlling every single thing. The question is he controlling every single thing as an in-the-moment decision about what happens to every single thing? Or is he controlling every single thing as a function of a broader system that he set up, which basically says that, Kind of leaves will fall, wind will blow, leaves will fall off of trees, whatever, these things will all happen, and they will only happen because God continues to make them happen, but it's as an application of a system that he set up. Now that system also, the Rambam says this, but the Ramchal, this is like the basic thesis of the work Das Tzunos, is that it's all, the system is set up in such a way that everything feeds back in to fulfilling the purpose of creation. And therefore, even if there is a general idea which we'll call nature, which God set up, which causes wind to blow and leaves to fall and bugs to die and whatever it is, it was all set up, mithila, it was all set up from the start in such a way that it all feeds back in to the purpose of creation. So whether it becomes a very docustic, a very fine distinction. The Ramban in the end of Parshas Bo seems to say very clearly, like the second approach, that God, he says basically that there's really no such thing as nature. The whole idea of miracles is to of open miracles is to show you that everything is a miracle, and it might be that God runs the world in what happens to be a consistent pattern, but every moment where God is running the world in the natural way, it's the same miracle as God running the world in the unnatural way. We're just, you know, it's less surprising when he does it the way that we're used to. Seems to be the other approach, that God is in every moment making a decision what's going to happen now, and most of the time God decides to leave things, but to do things according to, you know, this idea of nature, but it's at every moment is the same degree of active in the moment decision, so to speak, as every other moment, as opposed to in what David is describing, something more along the lines of God is at every moment maintaining and applying the same system, the same idea, but as more of an application of rules that were set up at the beginning. God is continuing to apply those rules, and at any moment he might not apply the rules, but when he does, it is as an application of the rules. What you're saying, I think, is more what the Rambam says, right? But both of them, both.
So when the bug is walking down, is Hashem just sitting back and like not saying, "All right, I want this bug to go this at the same moment to lead the song," or Hashem just created the rules and the bug happens to walk in? Hashem doesn't care whether the bug is walking. Hashem's not taking an active role in that.
This dichotomy that, and on the one hand, we're not going to say God was not involved, because at every moment of existence, it only happened because God willed it to happen. But at the same time, did God will that to happen because he decided that that specific bug needed to die, or did God will that to happen as an application of the basic rules that he set out from the beginning? So the Rambam says that I'll tell you the way that Ruth Weinberg said it, was that if what the world needs now is that 10,000 there should be 10,000 less cows for whatever reason. So 10,000 cows are going to die. Which 10,000 cows? That'll just be according to however it'll happen, however that decision. But it's not going to, every cow wasn't selected according to, are you the most fitted cow to die right now? 10,000 cows need to die, so 10,000 cows are going to die, right? As opposed to if there's a tornado in Eretz Yisrael. So I can say, you know what, 100 Israelis needed to die, so which Israelis are? Every single thing that happened to each person is according to what was right, what was fit, did that person deserve it? When it comes to man, it's always as a response to the actions of man. Now, I want to leave that point till next week, because next week we're going to talk more about this contrast between man and not man. But for now, I just wanted to just finish the Rambam's discussion of Hashgacha. The Rambam is one more caveat, which he leaves till much later. This is about 30 chapters later in Moreh Nevuchim. The Rambam says, "Anu kvar be'al." This is in, I think, chapter 51. I don't have the chapter at the top of the page here, but "Anu kvar be'arnu b'pirkei Hashgacha." We explained way back when in the chapters about Hashgacha, "Ki lefi erech das kol baldeya ti Hashgacha bo." According to the deya, according to the awareness of each person, that's the degree to which you will have Hashgacha. "V'hinei ha'adam ha'shalim b'hasagaso asher lo tachbal dato me'asham tamin." Somebody who is complete in his spiritual awareness, and he's always thinking about God, which basically the highest level, he's constantly aware of the reality of God's existence and that God's will and God's existence is what's really going on in the world. Tia hashgacha bo tamid. Hashgacha will always be on him. Va'adam hashalom basagaso. Asher rokin es machshavaso me'ashem be'eis mesuyim. But somebody who is on that level, they have they've reached this point, the full awareness of God, but they empty themselves of that awareness, meaning they leave that awareness, they drop down a level for some point of time. Hashem's hashgacha, his full hashgacha, you'll see in a minute what I mean by that, his full hashgacha is only going to be at the point where this person was at that level of recognizing God. And hashgacha is going to be on him less when he's busy with other things. So now the important caveat. Ve'ein hisrokanusa mimenu az ki hisrokanusa misho hiskilfal. That it's not going to be the same as someone who the hashgacha on a person who is generally on a higher level of awareness of God, who temporarily is, let's call it, distracted, is going to be lower than his hashgacha when he's not distracted. However, it's going to be still an entirely different level than someone who is not on that level at all. This person is not actively thinking about God. There's going to be a different level of hashgacha on that person, the degree to which God is manipulating the world and everything that's going on around him to fit the needs of this person is going to be affected at every moment by the degree to which that person is involved in having that appreciation of the reality of God's awareness. Skipping. V'shebe'eis shleimus machshavas avim v'hasagasu as Hashem yisala b'drachma amitim v'chashkasu b'mash hisig. At the times, at those points, when the person's mind is fully grasping Hashem's existence and is fully aware and he's connected, lo yitachinas klal sheyifka ba'oso adam min mimine aros. Nothing bad could happen to that person. The person who is 100% on the highest level of amunah, of realization of the reality of God's existence, nothing bad can happen to him. Lefisha hu im Hashem v'Hashem imo, because he's with God and God is with him. This is very similar to a Nefesh HaChaim that we've quoted before in this year about what the Nefesh HaChaim says in Shar Gimel Perek Yud Beis, I believe it is, where he says that the person who is focused on a Kadosh Baruch Hu only and entirely, nothing bad can happen to that person. That person is completely under the jurisdiction of Hashem, and nothing can happen to that person. He's realizing the facade of everything else having any ability to impact him. When he realizes that MS becomes true, that MS is put into practice for him. If you realize that everything that happens in the world is only under the direct direction of what God wants to happen, so then nothing can happen to you because you're dealt with on that level of awareness, and God directs everything to suit this person. When the person turns away from that awareness and he is hidden from Hashem, Hare Hashem muster mimenu, then Hashem hides himself from him. And then he's left open to available for whatever bad it happens to come along. Because that which saves a person from the sea of events, from being left adrift to the vicissitudes of existence, who also Ashafa simply is that very divine influence of God's the directness of God's existence. The chaimness bara ali deyazu gam milashon haTorah, and you see this clearly in the Torah. Amar Yisrael v'histarti panai mehem v'hayalachol. I hid my face from them, and they were left to be devoured. Umatzauhu raos rabos v'tzalos, and many bad things then ended up happening to them. Ubier, the Torah is explaining. He quotes more pesukim, but we're skipping. Ki hastaras panim zu anachnu sibasa. This hiding of God's face, we are the root of it. We are the ones who put up this screen who put up this veil, and the separation of God's direct hashgacha and protection is because to when we remove ourselves from being directly under that hashgacha, so then God leaves us to that extent up to Mikra. I just wanted to, last thing, show this idea in Chazal, the end of Parshas Bishalach. It says that after Masa Meriva, that they the fight they had there, that says the Torah says, it's the end of Pasuk Zayin of Perek Yud Zayin Pasuk Zayin, Ba'al Nasosam Es Hashem Lemor Hayesh Hashem Bikirbenu Imayin, and the people challenged God, tested God by saying, is God amongst us or is He not? Vayavo Amalek, says the next pasuk. Vayavo Amalek, and then Amalek came. Rashi comments, I have underlined it on the bottom of the page, Mashal Avam Shahirkiv Bono Al Ksefo V'yatzladeh. Somebody put his son on his shoulder and went out on the road. Haya Osura Ben Ruach Hefetz, the boy saw some object, the Omer Abba Tol Hefetz Zavitainli, Dad, can you get that for me and give it to me? Who knows him though, and his dad would give it to him. V'chein Shniya V'chein Shlisha happened a second time and a third time. Pagu Ba'alam Echad, he meets a certain person. Amar Lo, and he says to this person, Osura Ben, the son says to the person, Ra'isas Abba, Do you know where my dad is? I don't know, meaning, I don't know, have you seen my father? I haven't seen him. I don't know where he is. Amar lo aviv, his father says, Eincha yodea heichan ami, honey, you don't know where I am? Hishlicho me'alav, he takes him off from him, uba akela v'noshko, and the dog comes along and bites him. The Medrash does not say that his father puts him down and his father gives him a spanking. The Medrash says he puts him down, and then the dog comes along and bites him. As soon as the father puts him down, the child is left open to the dangers of what's around him. The hashgacha, when the father is carrying him, when he's direct, when he's aware that his father is there, his father's protecting him. Nothing can happen to him. As soon as his father puts him down, he is left up to mikra. He is left up to happenstance, to circumstance. He is left up to what we would call that system that God has put into place, that, you know, things happen to people. When you are on a state status where you are directly connected to God, God is done. God judges every single thing that should happen to you and every single thing that happens around you, that it should only happen in such a way that it's going to be for you. And that to the extent that a person is greater in that hakara, in that recognition, to the greater extent, the world around him is adapted to fit into what he needs and what he deserves. And to the extent that a person drops down from that, to that extent, the world around him happens as it happens. And if that happens to affect him, so that's his fault, so to speak, because he has put himself in, he's plugged himself in to that extent, to the world being the real place and God being less involved, the world having its own reality, to the extent that he acknowledges the world as having its own reality, so the world is a place of mikra, the world is a place of rules, and things happen the way they happen, and then he is left up to that, to the extent to which he recognizes the seichel of Hashem, that God's direct involvement is the only reality, that becomes the only reality for him, and he's dealt with on that level, and things only happen to him exactly kafi hamishpat, according to the exact judgment, which is what he deserves, and what is the best thing for him at that moment, will always be the way in which he's dealt with. So that's the idea of hashgacha, according to the Rambam, is hashgacha is a reaction of a Kadosh Baruch Hu to the level of our relationship with him. To the degree that we have the relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, God knows the ma'aseh b'nei adam below his nifam. He knows the actions of man, and he deals with the actions of man. According to the actions of man is how God deals with the man. And that is the idea of hashgacha, is the fact that God has a working relationship, a responsive relationship, that he deals with the actions of man, and the relationship that he has with the world and the way that existence deals with him goes according to the way that he has his relationship with God.